This is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 33 for week two. Hobart, and for the first time in a long time, Lehigh at the Poole Family Dome. But first, we'll talk about the opening game, 22-13 over Canisius. We're joined by head coach Greg Raymond. Overall thoughts on that first game?
Okay. You know, an okay first game. I think we were more focused on our emotional approach to the contest, Ted, than we were the actual result or the outcome. I think we, in some ways, had an immature view on the way that game, like I told you, was supposed to go. And we handled some successes from our opponent poorly, which I don't fully understand. I don't understand why an opponent can't have, no matter who they are, have any successes against us. So all we do from a next play standpoint is handle successes and failures properly. So we challenged them hard, you know, after the first quarter and at halftime, but not because of the score or, you know, we're up 9-6 and our guys are, you know, disgruntled and upset at halftime because of the score rather than because, you know, we haven't done our job in between the lines or on the ground or specifically defensively yet. I thought we had a very average day defensively. So, you know, I think more so we're focused on respecting all our opponents, fearing none, and how we approach each game emotionally and how that fuels our execution.
I don't know if we've talked about this before. I just ran the numbers a few minutes ago. The average game indoors over the last 5 years, 5.5 more goals total than when you play outdoors. Of course, at different opponents and things. I don't know how much meaning there is there, but do you take any different approach at all when you play inside the dome as opposed to an outdoor game?
No, I honestly just think it's warmer. I think the surface is provides more confidence to change direction, stop and go. And I think it just breeds a faster game. All indoor facilities, much like Syracuse's dome, just get you to run a little bit because you're not worried about, you don't feel the wind. You don't, the surface ain't hard. You know, part of the reason why we asked to put that dome up is the level of play we thought that we could promote. You know, we're right now in the process of talking about resurfacing Boswell Field and how much that would impact the pace of a game. And you know, I just think all teams feel more comfortable playing fast in a facility like that. So, well, we'll see this week. You know, you're playing a team, Ted, and I know we're going to get into it here, with a great defensive system and a great half field philosophy and a great goaltender and an awesome faceoff guy. So we'll see if we can still get up and down a bit against the opponent.
The attackers got up and down. Tommy Mott, Ryan Archer, Derek Madonna, that unit, 29 shots, 18 on target, 12 goals. I mean, they were moving the ball around, getting good quality shots and burying them.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of it goes into that poise we've talked about so much with that group and what they're capable of from a preparation standpoint first. And then just having the experience to stay calm and to keep moving forward. And like we always talk about, broken record, right? To get that next play. So we're proud of them, proud of their leadership and their ability to execute in our first contest for sure.
You're able to play a pretty physical game and only commit one penalty. The only penalty was chasing the goalie in behind the goal. So some pretty good discipline from that point. So I was a little surprised to hear you say that you thought it was kind of an average game defensively. Where did you think the defense didn't live up to your expectations?
Well, first, kudos to the officials for allowing us to play. It doesn't always happen every game. I'm actually pretty anxious to see how this game goes because Lehigh is so physical and big and strong. And I think it's a style that our guys like to play. But I just don't think we covered the ball very well, Ted. I don't think we Coach Terry's done such a great job teaching our men on how to approach the ball well, how to establish strong shoulders and defend certain areas of the field. And I think we just kind of took for granted that we were going to cover Canisius's players well, and we did it. And, you know, some of our best close defensemen and guys above the goal, I just don't think took the proper approach to that game. Or that offense, the way that they need to in order to get good stops. I think you know, one of the things we're going to deal with all year is the style that we play and face every day, which is a lot of speed, right? And, you know, Tommy and Archer, and they're not physical Dodgers. They're very fast and quick. And so our guys have learned how to cover those grounds. And then you look at Canisius, which, you know, I think Lehigh is a little bit of a mix of both, but you look at number 24, number 15, number 8 for them. They're big bull Dodgers that use physical play. So I think that, unfortunately, our guys were physical, but I don't think fully prepared on how hard those guys were prepared to dodge. And so, you know, a big shout out to Frank Brown and the coaching staff at Canisius that are getting their guys to play at that level and dodge as hard as we've seen Canisius guys really dodge yet. I thought their offense did a really good job. So that was it, basically, is the parts to the whole defensively were neglected. And I think we can do a much better job playing inside out defense and also staying physical at the same time.
You have a whole bunch of veteran middies back. You mixed in a whole bunch of the first-year guys. I mean, you can go very, very deep in that midfield, and you can kind of mix and match for situations. There's a whole bunch of different skill sets there, some real offense-first guys, some defensive guys, some transition guys. So you really have a lot of flexibility in what you can do with your midfield.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think, you know, candidly, Ted, it's still something we're figuring out. It's still something Coach Brundage and Coach Turry and I are spending a lot of time on, basically who goes in and when and why. So, you know, and I think having that versatility and these great opponents early in our season, it's just going to give us a great idea of molding the style we want to play with who's doing it best. And, you know, you look at a Canisius game where, you know, Mason Rahm's out there playing, but hasn't had a ton of time yet. So he's still getting his feet underneath him, and he's a great two-way guy for us. Same with Wiley, still getting his feet underneath him a little bit with some injury stuff. And then, you know, we get Bobby Balzer back here in the next couple of weeks. We get, you know, Brad Simas was out, we get him back. So we're still kind of molding this piece of clay, if we can be honest with you, and putting people in a lot of different spots to try some different things. So, you know, we're very hopeful almost positive that, you know, with the creator giving us some good luck on some health, that this thing can get pretty up and down and flow really nicely as long as we keep putting our ear to the ground and making sure we're watching diligent film every day of practice and putting these guys in the right positions.
Let's talk a little bit about faceoffs. We're going to talk a lot about faceoffs when we preview Lehigh, but it's become, since the rule changes a couple of years ago, a real quickness game at the X. And Shea's got that quick move. He just almost every one of his wins is just a snatch and go.
Yeah, and I think Shea prides himself on a couple different things, Ted. I think he is very quick and has a quick move. But you know, don't forget he's a wrestler, and he's a dog, man. He's a fighter and a grinder and. We've done what we hope is a decent job of kind of getting him out of the statistical analysis. Faceoff guys are like batters. They just look at numbers a ton. And, you know, I think Shea does a pretty good job of just avoiding that and competing, which is the biggest thing for us, is making sure. And like you mentioned, with a guy like Sisselberger coming in here on Saturday, I mean, we love our guy, but we don't know if they get much better than Sisselberger, just in terms of his speed, his quickness, and his power, and what he does after the play, and his relentless style to keep coming back at it. And we just think that's who Shea is too. So he's quick, yes, but we're also very proud of just the toughness that he's developing, in that you're not going to win every one, and they're all not going to go your way, and a push could happen, or this, or this guy flops, or the ref's whistle, or there's tons of stuff that can get in the way of your flow at that position. So the biggest thing for Shea is that wrestler's mentality. Make sure that, you know, when you go out and you shake that hand and you got that wrestling singlet on, you're ready for anything. You know, you're just ready to fight. And so that's the thing that I think he brings to our other faceoff guys, and he brings to our team that we love.
How is it handled during the game in terms of who takes the face off, who makes that call, and when is it made? I'm leading into Jake Schaefer. How much warning did he have that he was going to go out there and his first career face off, snatches it up, charges down the wing, and dunks it?
Yeah, he had zero. I think we're in a much different place than we were a year ago with, like we've talked before, Ted, about, you know, Shea and Drew, where you have these two guys that can go at it out there. Adam's our guy, and he is a guy that we want to continue to give the freedom to go out there and keep having successes, have a few failures and move on. But our message to our bench and our sideline is always the same every week. And this is where Shafe's included, because he's a tweener, right? We got Shafe, you got your backup goalie, Lucas and Liam Daly, who's been phenomenal since he's been here. You got guys like Alex Rosa who come off the bench and play man up, and Sam Ward, who gets runs down low and runs on man up, and Vinny Orlando, who plays man down strictly and has to kind of sit there and legs get a little bit cold and you know, they're energetic and, you know, they're echoing our calls, but those guys have got to stay invested. It's the hardest thing on game day is being a tweener, really. And when your number gets called, your coaching staff and your team's anticipating you going out there and executing. And we made a great example of Jake in our film session. You know, not that that was a huge play, Ted, and you heard the place. It went nuts. Our team went nuts. We almost got a penalty on the bench. We had to get all our guys back on the bench. Everybody was just really fired up. One, just because of who Shafe is, you know, he's great. Our guys love him. He's emotional. He's a hard worker. He's got a very gregarious personality, we'll call it. But the example we made wasn't just that. It was that he sat there all the way to the middle of the third quarter and went out there and executed at full speed. And one thing that, again, the Dome does for us is it keeps those guys, those tweeners, warm. And that message that we send, if we're going to have the best sideline in the country, we're going to be able to yank a dude off of it and say, hey, you know the flow of the game right now. But you should have been watching it. You should see the time and tempo of what's going on and know exactly where we need you and what you're supposed to do. So he did a great job of going in and executing just that.
You mentioned man up, and we talked about how last year you struggled. You got two goals and five opportunities, and you're talking about specialists, more specialists on man up than I think we've seen the last couple of years.
They're specialty positions. You know, that's been a staple for us, Ted. Maybe not so much on the man up end, and quite frankly, that might have been where we had a lackluster performance last year, is that, you know, specialty positions require special players. And, you know, we've always loved the role of that significant challenge. You know, if you think of Nick Paris in the past, if you think of Owen Hurley in the past, and Owen did a lot of things for us, but, you know, if you think of Adam Davis a bit last year and these guys that we want them to just know, man up or man down. Vinny Orlando this year is a big one for us. And there are some places where, you know, I remember having a conversation with Owen Hurley in the past, and he's, you know, just kind of in question and what he can do better, how he can get more wings of the faceoffs and get on the field a bit. And then we went back and watched the film, and I said, I don't know if you know, Owen, but we were man down 10 times. That means you got 10 possessions to get a stop, one of them in overtime of this game to help us win this game. So we provide so much importance to those positions and make sure that our guys know how much we value the difficulty in what they're doing and also their ability to execute in those spots. So it could be looked over or diminished in some way, shape and form, but Vinny Orlando knows that if he can go in there, play at a fast pace and get a stop, if it's just one single stop, that's huge for a victory and huge for a team performance. So that's a big part of who we are.
Dan Ryan had the second two-goal game of his career. Mark Sinnott had a long pole goal. Are there certain situations in the game where you want the long poles out there as part of the offense, or does that just more or less happen in the flow?
Yeah, no, and the latter. So, I mean, it does happen in the flow. And like we talked last week, Dan's capable of it. He's had a two-goal game prior to
this? Yeah, he had two. I'm pretty sure he had two years ago in a game.
Against Siena?
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. Like we said last year, he shoots enough to have two goals every game. but yeah, that was great. I think more just staying involved in a play, us beating whistles, the transitional flow we always talk about, Ted. I mean, you know, Dan, Frankie, Marcus, these long sticks, Mark Sinnott, you know, has a great ability to make those plays. A lot of our guys do. So, you know, I think it's more or less us getting to that next phase faster than our opponent than it is Dan being a great offensive threat, because he is, and you know, we use him as such, and we'll always. So I think the combination of both, we don't particularly put them in positions all the time that say, hey, you're a shooter here, but we always want everybody on the field to be a scoring threat. That's how we coach, and we tell our guys that you're not going to get a ton of time here if you're not confident in your ability with the ball in your stick and always playing the game moving forward. So, you know, Dan scoring a goal, Mark scoring a goal, that's literally them just doing what we've asked and staying involved in the play. We give them freedom to do such, and those guys just executed in some good moments.
Very good week two opponent, number 14 in the preseason. Lehigh comes to the Poole Family Dome. Haven't played them since the Patriot League days back in 2004. So let's start with Mike Sisselberger. I mean, this guy, he benches 405. He squat lifts 565. I've seen the videos. He set the record last year, 795 win percentage. What do you do against a guy like that?
I fight hard, you know. I mean, he's good. We know it. But we really don't believe that one person wins a lacrosse game. So I think, again, we have a very competitive face-off guy that's pretty good as well. And we're very anxious for him to battle this guy for 60 minutes. You know, we got a lot of guys, Ted, that lift a lot of good weight in the weight room. And we got a lot of guys that squat a ton. We got a lot of guys that bench a ton. We got a lot of guys that do all the things necessary from a nutrition standpoint and a hard work standpoint. They're just not, you know, in the media every day for doing it, which we love. So I think we're less intimidated by his strength as we are by, you know, how relentless he is every single time he goes out to the face-off. And intimidated is not the right word. We're just focused on it. We know that he's very impactful, and we know that he gives them strength. I think understanding going on a run in this game is going to be hard for us. And, you know, typically when you get those 3, 4, 5 goal swings, you got your face-off guy getting the ball back to your offensive bunch. So we're going to have to find ways to create more possessions. We're going to have to find ways to take advantage of our possessions. And so for us, it's not how much he benches. It's knowing how to combat the fact that he can win the ball at the X a decent amount for his team. And so what does our clear look like? What does our ride look like? You know, what does our ground ball play look like? How much can we match his relentless pursuit with everybody else's on our teams?
They have a returning fifth-year grad student goalie, James Spence, who was, I think, second-team All-American last year. I think we've talked about this before. How much of a book do you try to get on an opposing goalie and say, okay, he might be a little weak here, he might be a little weak there, or how much is it that your guys just play their offensive game?
A little bit of both. You know, I think we want to go a goalie scout every week, and we're diligent. Thankfully, with Coach Terry here and Coach Brundage's history, we usually know goalies very well going into this, and we provide weaknesses to our guys and or where we think their tells are, or where they bait you, and you know, it's different week to week. I think the challenge with this guy is there aren't many weaknesses and there aren't many baits, or there aren't many this or that. We think you mentioned one of their best players and Sisselberger. We think this guy is their best player, the goalie. And they got a pole number 45 who we love, who's just a phenomenal motor for them. So, but you know, with us, if you have a great goaltender, you gotta do a good job of moving them. You gotta do a good job of keeping them hot. You gotta do a good job of not letting them settle into shots and stare you down a little bit. And so the keys to our offense, like you said, Ted, are the keys to beating a goaltender, a good goaltender like that, which we need to move the ball. We need to move off ball. We need to not get too settled on our first opportunity and keep looking for the great one. So, but thankfully we have some good shooters and we have some guys that can stretch it. We have some guys that are very confident stepping into, you know, 12 and 15 yards and shooting the ball well. So for us, it's just like the guy at the X. Keep going, keep attacking, keep shooting, and we're sure if we can continue to generate opportunities that they'll drop.
So it's a team, I haven't seen them. The last time you played was in 2004 before I was doing the games. Most of the fans don't know much about them, so I always ask you for a comparison to a league team. Who do they remind you of in your own league?
Yeah, 2004. That, I mean, I was still in college. It's uncanny the similarities they have with Bryant, really. How disciplined they are defensively, where they are in the goal. They mix you in and out of zone and keep you guessing. They face off really well, and they're scripted offensively, but, you know, nothing too crazy, but they're big, strong, and physical in how they dodge. They got a couple quick guys here and there. So, you know, we're watching film and we're like, it's like watching Bryant in a white or a green jersey. You know, they just that's the type of physical imposing will they like to have on their opponent. And you know, the trademark of a Bryant team always is they make very few mistakes, right? They make you beat them. They don't beat themselves. And you know what I know of all I've seen of Lehigh. And now it's a team that we don't know very well, that we haven't played a ton, that we've watched, you know, a ton of film on from previous years. And this one, they're very similar. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, they possess the ball very well offensively. They trust a single pass and they dodge very hard and keep the ball moving. And defensively, they're very sound from the inside out. So, and again, like you said, face off well. So, hats off to Coach Cassis and his staff. They do a great job. We know that if we're going to have success against, like any opponent against this group, that we're going to earn it.
What do you look for as keys? What does this game look like in the first 5 or 7 minutes that tells you it's going to be a Hobart kind of day?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're comparing it a lot to that Yale scrimmage. Thankfully, we had, you know, a big, fast, strong team in Yale that, you know, created a physical atmosphere and made it, very competitive when the ball's on the ground and in between the lines. So, you know, we want to manage that emotion, Ted. That's the biggest key, is we want to make sure that we are, we trust our preparation, we trust our, and have full belief in our cultural strength and know that we have prepped for this game well. So we need to make sure the emotion that we have doesn't get tied up in having a big top 20 opponent in the dome and yada yada, that our emotion is driven right towards how fast we can play and how fast we can execute. So we want to make a team that's great in the half field play us in the full field and stretch them out as much as we can and play as fast as we can, you know. And I think that you're going to have two conflicting styles of play here and lots of different angles to make this thing a really fun atmosphere, man. So that's the biggest key for me, is making sure that I know our team well. I know how emotional we're going to be in a good way. I know our leadership will be on point, and I want to make sure that that mindset is the proper one going into what will surely be a 60-minute contest, maybe even further.
All right, it's Lehigh at the Poole Family Dome Saturday at 12 noon. You can follow Hobart Lacrosse on Twitter at Hobart Lacrosse, Instagram at Hobart Lacrosse, and of course, all things HWS Sports. We got some playoffs coming up this weekend at hwsathletics.com. Coach Greg Raymond, thanks as always. Look forward to next week.
All right, Ted. Thanks, brother.